we'll trust the Lord to speak to our hearts. But in 2 Chronicles, if you can turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles and chapter 18. In 2 Chronicles and chapter 18, and we're going to be looking at part of the life of Jehoshaphat, and probably one of the more well-known kings. Some of the other kings are perhaps a little less known of, but Jehoshaphat has quite a large number of chapters and even portions of books dedicated to him and his story as king. And he is a source of encouragement and challenge. And tonight we're going to look at something I think will be a bit of a challenge, has been a challenge to my own heart, and hopefully to yours as well. Maybe it'll just be an encouragement, I don't know, but we'll trust the Lord to do the work anyway. But in 2 Chronicles and chapter number 18, and I'd like to read for us just the first 22 verses. I was considering reading chapter 17, 18, 19 and 20, but for the sake of time tonight, we won't do that. But Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, and starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honour in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of the prophets 400 men, and said unto them, Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, Fetch quickly Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat king of Judah sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah the son of Chenanath had made him horns of iron, and said, Thus saith the Lord, With these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. And when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, Go you up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And the king said to him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains, as sheep having no shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Again he said, Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall entice Ahab king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, Thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, Behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we come before you tonight, and Lord, it's a privilege, Lord, to open your word. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through the preaching. Lord, we need you, Lord, to work in our midst. We need the Spirit of God to open our hearts, our understanding. And Lord, perhaps there needs to be a challenge for us here tonight. Lord, may it be that if that is the case, Lord, our hearts would receive it. Lord, maybe there's encouragement, maybe a rebuke. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we ask that we would receive it. And Lord, be diligent in our response to your word. May it be glorified. And Father, may you just give the words, Lord, that we need to hear. And Lord, we pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. This is probably one of the more familiar passages of Jehoshaphat. And I did a bit of time studying the timing of this incident, as it were, in Jehoshaphat's life, and where Ahab and all that lines up with it. And if you do a bit of cross-referencing, you'll find in 1 Kings in chapter 16, verses 28 and 29, I won't turn there, but you'll find that Ahab starts his reign after his father, Omri. Now, we know that Omri was a wicked king as well. And the Bible says that Ahab reigned in his stead, and he reigned for 22 years. And 22 years was an average time for a king to reign. You'll find there were some shorter and there were some longer reigns. And it all depended on, it seems, their relationship with the Lord. The wicked kings didn't seem to last very long. There were a couple that had extended reigns, but primarily they didn't last long. A bit of a warning there for us, another message in itself. We find that Jehoshaphat reigned for 25 years, and you'll find that in this book that we've read. You'll find I can't actually put my finger on it in Chronicles, but in Kings, in chapter 22, the Bible says that he reigned for 25 years. And we find that Jehoshaphat started his reign in the fourth year of King Ahab's reign. So King Ahab's reigning for 4 years in Samaria, in Israel, and then Jehoshaphat starts his reign in Judah, and he starts his reign in Jerusalem 4 years later. Now you'll find that Jehoshaphat's father was Asa, and you'll find that Asa was a godly king. In fact, he reigned for, I think it was 41 years. You'll find also with Asa that he made some mistakes. He reigned, had a godly reign, and towards the end of his life, when he was prosperous, some things happened in his life. He made the wrong decisions, some wrong choices, and he ended up getting a disease. And the Bible says that instead of inquiring of the Lord, he inquired of the physicians. And God did not bless that. But Jehoshaphat, his son, is reigning. He reigned for 25 years. Now, Jehoshaphat, we find in verse number 1 of this passage that we've read, had riches and honour in abundance. And if there had been a full stop there, we would have said, amen, what a blessing. But we find the end of the verse says, and joined affinity with who? Ahab. Joined affinity with Ahab. Now, that's Jehoshaphat's first mistake, is joining affinity. Now, the idea of joining affinity is that he had a marriage in the family. His son Jehoram married Ahab's daughter. And you can find that if you look in 2 Chronicles and chapter number 21. The Bible says in verse number 6, in verse 5 and 6, and Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for what? He had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Big mistake. Jehoshaphat's first mistake was, we look at it and we go, he went down to Ahab in Samaria. That was the first mistake. The first mistake was he let his son marry Ahab's daughter. And he was now attached somehow to the kingdom of Ahab, the kingdom of Israel. And I don't know, it doesn't give us a lot of information as to what happened. But let's just say perhaps that Jehoshaphat was approached by his son. And if you look at the custom of marriage in those days, it's a fair bit different from what we have now. And there was a lot of, generally, there was a lot of close communication between the father and the son as to the wife that they would choose. And I don't know where Jehoram met Ahab's daughter. But something tells me that there's something not right about it. Somehow he's gotten out. Somehow he's down in Israel where he was not meant to be. And somehow he formed an attachment to Ahab's daughter. And he ends up marrying her. That's what it means when he says he had joined affinity. And perhaps it was that Jehoshaphat said, well, there's not much I can do about it. You know, he's gonna marry her, so well I may as well, you know, support him and you know, be there for him. And you know, you've heard all before. He should have put his foot down and said, no, son, I'm not having anything to do with it. You can marry her if that's your choice. But I'm telling you right now, I'm having nothing to do with this affinity. It's wrong. The Bible tells me, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. He says, I'm not having anything to do with it. But it doesn't say that. It says, and Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity. He was a part of it. He didn't put his foot down hard enough. He let something slip. Okay, he let something slip. First mistake, first problem, first sin for Jehoshaphat, he let something slip in his life. And we can read the rest of the story and be amazed at what actually happened. But mark my words, nothing big ever goes wrong until you let something small slip. Okay? You don't go from being in the service tonight rejoicing and praising the Lord and saying, what a wonderful day it's been in the house of the Lord, till next day jump into bed with someone else. That's extreme, isn't it? But that bottom line doesn't happen. How it happens is, tomorrow morning, you forget your quiet time. You let something slip. Tomorrow night, you go somewhere where you know you ought not be. And you let something slip. See, it's not a big deal, is it? But everything's a big deal in God's eyes. And Jehoshaphat let it slip. He joined affinity. Now, perhaps he felt that, you know, this union, then something good may come out of it. Let's just pray and ask God that, you know, he'll use it somehow in him and Jehoram's life. No. It's wrong. It's nothing to do with it. Should have had nothing to do with it. But he has some part in it. Some small part. Because the Bible says in verse number 2 that, and after certain years, he went down to Ahab in where? Where'd he go? Samaria. Now, did he do it the next day after Jehoram got married? After this affinity? After this union? No, it actually took certain years. Certain years. Now, see, what happens with a lot of us is something, we let something slip in our life, something that once upon a time we used to say, well, we won't do that, we won't go there, we won't watch this, or we won't be partaker of this, and we let something just slip a little, and nothing happens. In fact, Jehoshaphat has riches and honor and abundance, and it's fantastic. The Lord's blessing. But give it certain years, and that's where the problem comes. See? It's not the next day. It's not the next week. It may not be the next decade. But it's coming because you've let something slip. You've let something go unnoticed in your life because that's not a big deal. See? It's a big deal. Because we find now that this affinity, this union that Jehoshaphat had now turns into Jehoshaphat getting out of the will of God. Way out of the will of God. And the Bible says that he goes down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab kills oxen and sheep in abundance, and it's just a fantastic time of fellowship, isn't it? Fantastic.
The oxen are killed, the sheep are killed, and they put their arms around each other saying, "Brother, it's great to see you. It's been a long time coming, but brother, we're thankful that you're finally here." What's Jehoshaphat doing there? He should never have been there. He's there because he's slipping. And then now he's not just slipping, he's sliding. He's gone from slipping to sliding. He's out of control.
And notice that, and for the people that he had with him, you know, when you slip and when you slide, you generally take people with you. You don't just slip on your own. You don't just slide on your own. You take a whole bunch of people with you. That's the danger. You see, we think that my little bit of sin over the corner over here where no one can see it, it's no big deal. But guess what? It's a big deal. And your slipping and your sliding is drawing other people along with you. Jehoshaphat was a fool for thinking that it's no big deal. Young people, you can't get away with little things and think it's no big deal. You can't sample sin and say, "Well, I'll just have that little bit," because you've started a slippery slide. And you know, the sad thing about it is you can probably take other people with you. That's the sad thing about it.
Jehoshaphat is there with Ahab and they're having a great time. And in verse 4 we find Jehoshaphat has a Spiro moment. He has a twinge of conscience, doesn't he? He's agreed already to go to war, hasn't he? He's already given his word. He said to Ahab, "We'll go to war with you." He says this. He says, "I am as thou art." I mean, what kind of foolishness is this? Ahab is a wicked king, and Jehoshaphat says, "I'm as you are. We're the same, brother." He's not the same. Ahab is an ungodly, wicked king. And you find reference to him throughout the rest of the Old Testament as to the ones who walked in Ahab's way. Because of his wickedness.
But Jehoshaphat, he's there and he's kind of stuck, isn't he? He's with him now. It's always hard when you're in amongst it to be able to put your foot down, isn't it? Because you're there. And it takes a greater man with greater courage to admit he's wrong and that he's in the wrong place than it does to say no in the first place. It's easier to say no when you're first approached than when you're approached, when you're slipped, when you're sliding and you're out of control. It's very difficult because you can't save face anymore, can you? It's impossible once you're there now to save face. Your pride is your biggest hindrance to being wrong. And Jehoshaphat, he's stuck. And he's stuck. But he says this, and it's amazing. He says, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." He's feeling bad, isn't he? He's feeling like he shouldn't be where he is. And he says to Ahab, "Ahab, before we go any further, I've just had a great idea. Let's ask God whether we should do this. Inquire of the Lord for me." He said, "Brother, I trust your judgment. Pray for me." What in the world is he doing asking Ahab to pray for him and ask for him? Ask himself. He's got some heathen, wicked king praying for him. Asking of prophets. And the king of Israel gathers together a whole multitude of prophets. He's got multitudes of them. He's got prophets coming out of his ears. 400 of them. And he says, "I've got 400 prophets, brother. I've got a spiritual bunch of guys helping me. And we're doing a great work for the Lord. Let's get them down." So they all come down. All 400 of them. And they say, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." Oh, with one accord. They're in unity. There is an amazing blessing heading our way, King, if we just only go out and just have a battle. Amazing. They all have the same story. They're all thinking, "This is fantastic. God's going to bless us. We're all in one accord." No, they're all in one accord because they're all wrong. All wrong. You know why they're all wrong? Because they're all where they shouldn't be. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, said unto Ahab, he says, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord?"
something didn't ring true for him, did it? He's there and he's feeling pretty bad. These 400 guys have just said, look, you know, I'm going to go up. But he's a spiritual man. He's a godly man. Understand this. Don't knock him too hard. He's a godly man. But he's in the wrong place where he ought to be. He says, is there yet one? One man by whom we might inquire of? And the king of Israel says, there is one. And in verse number 7, he says, there's one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. There is one guy. He says, but I hate him. Bottom line is, I hate this guy. He says, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. He is a pain in the neck. Every time I go to him for advice, he always tells me something I don't want to hear. So I don't go to him. See, I go to people who tell me what I would like to know. I don't go to the Bible. I go to people who tell me what they think. I go to people who have good ideas. And I find that a lot more easier to deal with. I find it easier to live the Christian life like that. Wrong, isn't it? That's worldly philosophy. That's worldliness. That's a world's way of doing things. You know, the world says, let's go out and get a general consensus on how we should do things in the church, or how we should deal with this issue, or how we should deal with that issue. But that's not biblical. That's not Bible. See, the Bible says, seek the Lord. Study his word. But Ahab says, no, we go to the world and we go to the worldly prophets and the guys who seem to have all the results and all the good ideas. Jehoshaphat says, well, it is the one. So they get this man, Micaiah. He's a prophet of God. And while one of the officers goes to get Micaiah, Ahab and Jehoshaphat are sitting in a void place, in the place just out front. All the prophets are around them, and they're all prophesying and saying, just kings, go up, the Lord be with you. Here's some horns of iron, and with these you'll push them somewhere. Just get rid of them with these horns. And it's like, wow, this is exciting. We should go. And Micaiah turns up, and the messenger has been talking to Micaiah, said, say there's 400 that have said go, and we don't want to spoil the king's day. I mean, he's having a great day. Fellowship is just prime. The king of Judah, he's come down. Jehoshaphat's there, and they're just rejoicing in the Lord, and don't spoil the party by bringing bad news. Don't put a downer on it. See, we don't like downers. We don't like the bad news. We like to hear the good stuff. But Micaiah says, well, even what God saith, that will I speak. Comes to King Ahab, and King Ahab says to him, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead in verse 14 to battle, or shall I forbear? Should I go to fight, or should I stay back here? And Micaiah says straight up, no hesitation, go up and prosper. You've heard it from 400, you'll hear it from one more. Go up and have a great time. And I tend to get the impression here that Micaiah is a little sarcastic when he says that. Because King Ahab looks at him and says, stop messing with me. Don't joke with me. I want to hear what God wants, apparently. And he says, just tell the truth. And Micaiah tells the truth. And the king Ahab doesn't like it, does he? He doesn't like it. And he says to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell that he would not prophesy good unto me but evil? He said, I told you, this guy is against me. It's a personality clash. He doesn't like me. See, he doesn't like the way I do things, therefore he's against me. No, no, no. He doesn't like the way you do things. Not that he doesn't like you, but you're wrong. See, and when you're wrong, it's pretty hard to take it, isn't it? And Ahab's wrong. Ahab is so wrong. Notice Jehoshaphat, though, he doesn't say, oh, hang on, I think this guy's got something here. He's telling the truth. And I looked at that, and I've been thinking about that this afternoon, and I'm thinking, why didn't he see it? And the only thing I can think that answers this dilemma is that when you have slid and when you are where you should not be, what does the Bible say? It says, quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you will lose spiritual discernment. You will lose it. And you look around at times and you see people who are making decisions, churches that are heading in directions which are contrary to the Word of God, individuals who suddenly have a light that no one else has, and you ask yourself, why does this happen? And I'll tell you why it happens. It's because the Spirit of God, once He is grieved in your life, He will not always strive. Your spiritual discernment leads you. And you will keep on making wrong choices and bad decisions because you are not being led by the Spirit of God. You're being led by your emotions, by human reasoning, and by the good ideas of other people who think they know better than God. That's the problem. And Jehoshaphat is floundering because he refused to make a stand. It didn't just happen to Jehoshaphat where all of a sudden he's way out here with the bunch that have got no idea. It started when he refused to see and refused to say, this is wrong, this union, I will not be part of it. And years down the track, we find him a spiritual shipwreck because he has no idea what is right and wrong anymore. That's the problem. And we would do well to learn. You know, we should never support someone who is doing the wrong thing in the sense of, oh, that's okay, it's just him. It's either wrong for the world and it's wrong for the person who's close to you. It's not all of a sudden, oh, it's complicated. No, it's right or it's wrong. There are no areas where we can say, but that's just him. That's wrong. Or she's wrong. Because what happens, as soon as you give support and say, well, you make an exception here, then you have basically taken on their side, which is the wrong side, which will lead you down the slide. That's how it happens. It didn't start by Jehoshaphat falling into a heap to start with. It started with one wrong decision. Years go by, he's finished. Now I'm thankful this is the end of the story. Because there's hope for Jehoshaphat. The Bible says that in the battle, if you read the rest of the story, there was a battle royal going on, and the king of Israel, being Ahab, says, I will disguise myself and go into battle, and you go looking like a king. What a fool Jehoshaphat was. What does he think is going to happen? What a moron. But he's so bad that that's what he gets up to. And he wanders off to battle in his kingly robes, and here's Ahab tack along behind with a massive shield of armor, so he's impenetrable almost, and Jehoshaphat's wide open. And along comes the cavalry and says, take out the king. Now I'm thankful that Jehoshaphat still had enough sense when he was in big trouble to call out to God and say, God help me. But there are many people who never call out for help. They finish up in the rubbish heap because they refuse to call out even when in their darkest hour. I could take you to people. I heard a story recently of a man in Papua New Guinea. His name is Anos. Got saved at a young age. Started to live for the Lord. And then made a decision that he was going to go off and do something wrong. Do something bad. It gradually happened, but it happened. For several years, He was a mercenary, an assassin, an armed robber, a dealer in drugs and all kinds of things, saw people die around him, and somehow God miraculously got him out of it. And I could take you to that man today and show you a man who's transformed, but I can only show you very, very few people like that. I can show you a few. I can show you more people who never, ever get back with the Lord, and today they have offspring who are going to be in hell forever because they refuse to stop the slide. Jehoshaphat, through this whole thing, he's going through the motions of being spiritually call on the Lord. Well, let's see what the Lord has to say. But he's so far gone that the Lord's not even speaking to him. What a desperate position he's in. Thankfully, when he's in his hour of need, he recognizes that things are badly wrong. He calls out to the Lord, and guess what? The Lord saves him. I'm thankful that God's a gracious God. What an amazing God we have. That even though we may have slid, the arms are there to pick us up and put us back on our feet. Think of David. The problems that David had in his life. And yet God still used King David. Now, what I will say is this, though. He created a whole lot of unnecessary work for himself. Have a look in chapter 19. In chapter 19, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanan, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God.'" Now, have a look at this. "And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers." He wouldn't have had to have brought him back if he'd never slid himself. See, when you slide, you take people with you. And Jehoshaphat had to go back over again what he'd already done, because you'll read in previous chapters that he'd had Judah and their hearts toward God already. But because of his foolishness, he'd taken their eyes off God and they were back off in the world again. See, he's made a mess. And he has to try and clean it up. And you read about his son, and you'll find that his son, when he became king, killed all his brothers. And died and went to hell. And you ask yourself the question, was it worth the affinity that he had with Ahab in the first place? I'll tell you, no. It was not worth it. It cost him big time. See, a little step is the beginning of a large step to the beginning of God saying, "Sorry, you missed what I had for you because you refused to make a stand on what was right in the first place." That's what happened. Now tonight, where are we before the Lord? Individually, as a church, as a parent, as a grandparent, as a peer, as a young person who has respect amongst other young people, where are you at? Are you slipping? Have you slipped? Because if you don't recognize it, Ahab died with an arrow in the chest. Jehoshaphat lost a lot of potential that he had. His children were a mess. One survived, the rest were murdered. And you say, the little thing's not a big deal. I think it's a big deal. It's a massive deal. Don't discount sin as just another thing that happens in life. Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is an offence to Almighty Holy God. And if you have that attitude towards him, you will suffer the consequences. Simple. The Bible says we are called to be what? Holy. We are a peculiar nation. We are set apart. We are to have an influence for good rather than be influenced by the evil.
Jehoshaphat, boy, lost a lot of what he could have had. Hey, for God's grace, if it wasn't for that, boy, what a tragic story. You'll find later, if you read on, that he had some great victories in his life. But it was only after he got his heart right with God. That's the only time it happened. If something's not right in your life, you recognise it, you repent of it, and you deal with it. You don't just brush it under and say, oh, that just happened in the past, you won't worry about it. Well, no, you deal with it now. And young people, you may have done things in your life that are wrong, that are sin. That happens. But don't just brush it under the carpet or under the bed or wherever other place you can find to hide it and say, well, it'll just go away. Because sin never goes away, the consequences never go away, and the slide will not stop unless you're prepared to deal with it right now. That's the truth in that. You cannot avoid the effect of sin on your life. You cannot avoid it. There is a law which says it must affect you. You will reap what you sow. It is impossible to not reap.
I don't know how to finish it really, other than that the Lord needs to speak to each of us about it. I've said some things and I've been challenged myself about some things in my own life. But unless we recognise the things in our life which are not important, unless we recognise them as being important and that we've slipped, unless we repent, we will continue to slide from the favour of God, from the blessing of God. And one day we will rue the opportunity that God gave us tonight to put things in motion to stop that slide. You don't need to keep sliding. If you're saved, then guess what? Repentance is for you. You just need to say, Lord, I've messed up. I missed that thing there. I didn't stand, or I'm associated with this person or I ought not be. Or I do these things which ought not. By your grace, I'm going to now put a line in the sand. I'm not crossing over anymore. I've slid far enough. And God, help me get back some of them years that I've wasted or the things that I've done. Because unless it's for God's grace, we're all in the same category as Jehoshaphat. Where are you sliding? Ask God to search your heart. Be honest with him. Jehoshaphat wasn't honest, was he? He's a prophet telling the truth. And he didn't even recognise it. He cannot be. Cannot be right, he says. But he was. He missed out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, some things in your word are hard sometimes to read and hard to take. Lord, we, all of us, if we're to be honest, Lord, with you, Lord, honest with those around us, and honest with ourselves, Lord, we would have to admit that there are times in our lives where we refuse to acknowledge the things which you would have us acknowledge. The things which we don't think are a big deal, Lord, to you are a big deal. And Father, by your grace, help us, Lord, to see that, Lord, if undealt with, Lord, it will end up in ruin. Lord, not just that, but we'll most probably take people with us. And Lord, what a weight to carry to know that we've been responsible for the detriment of people's lives. Lord, by your grace, may we be led by the Spirit. May we walk in the Spirit. Lord, may we make a stand when we need to make a stand. Lord, because we know that if we don't make a stand first up, then down the track it's Lord, just about impossible. Lord, we know we've just been saved by grace. And Father, we ask that you'd help us, Lord, to Lord, appropriate those things in our lives, Lord, which would help us, Lord, make right decisions. Lord, may our spiritual discernment not be taken away because of the life that we lead. Lord, give us wisdom, challenge our hearts, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.